knowing that your word is always fresh and always ready to deliver to us your will and your goodness and your mercy. We thank you that holy men of old wrote down the things that they were inspired by the Holy Ghost from the Old Testament to the New Testament. And Father, we magnify you, ask you to deliver and reveal to every individual, every person this morning, because we've shown up. We've shown up because God sent us here. He drew us here. He put us here. Even if we came kicking and screaming, somehow He drew us here. So we're going to receive what goodness He has for us, no matter what our minds are saying. Father, we thank you for it, and we give you praise for it. We don't listen to our minds. We listen to the Spirit, and we glorify you. I don't know how to listen to the Spirit. Thank you, Lord, this morning you're teaching us how to listen to your Spirit. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, you remember Daniel and his three buddies, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, or Azariah, Mishael, and the other guy, Hananiah. And it's funny how the new name of Daniel was easier to remember than, you know, crazy. So Daniel and the three Hebrew children have been through a lot. They've been through a lot with several kings already. And the funny thing about these kings is that they're always praising God there at the end of some disaster. They're always proved wrong. Amen? God's always showing Himself mighty. And you have to remember, this is in a context of captivity for the Jews. This is a context where the Jews have no temple. They have no place to worship. It's kind of like today. They have no place to do anything. You know, however, the Word of God has indwelt Daniel. And I'll just call them Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, just because it's quicker. And the Lord God has indwelt them by His Word. They were taught as young people. That's why we want to teach our young people. Over in Deuteronomy chapter 6, it tells you to teach your children when they're rising up, when you're rising up, when you're sitting down, laying down, when you're going in, when you're coming out, you know, in the city, in the country, in the house, out of the house. You're always teaching your children. Now, what does that mean? Does that mean you always got a book in your hand? No. It means you're always declaring to them the Word of God. And that's what you and I are to do as well. Is I know that when these young men were in the training in chapter 1. See, I always go back to that because they were being trained in Babylonian University. They brought them in and they were going to train them and turn them into little Babylonians. Amen? It's like we do in college. You know, we send them out of the church and out of the homeschool into, you know, UT. So we can turn them into little Babylonians. Now, amen? Say no. But once you begin in the Spirit and you continue them, they can go into Babylonian you and turn it around. Amen? They could turn it around. I know Pastor Jim's told you about, you know, when his kids went to TCU. You know, they'd get up and say, hey, that's wrong. You know, the world's made in 6 billion years. No, it's more like 6,000. You know, I mean, it's not something you want to say if you're afraid of people. You know, no, I don't believe that. I don't buy that. So you stand up and you declare what you already know to be the truth because you're worshiping God. You're having a daily relationship with God, and what people think, you don't worry about. You're not afraid. A lot of you, you know, you got a job. Well, you got a job. God's going to make a way for you to minister the love of Jesus. Amen. You may not be able to stand on your desk, you know, for 4 hours a day and preach. That may not be it. Yeah. Otherwise, you may end up on the street corner preaching, you know, for 4 hours a day, you know, if you do that for very long. But God uses you because He says, you are the light. Doesn't say, okay, come on, guys, be the light. You know, He didn't say, be the light. He said, you are the light. You am the light. You be the light. You are. You exist as light. You are the salt. You are. When you're out there, when you're just there, letting the Holy Spirit manifest through you. As you worship God, that's when these good works begin to take place. You just go out and explode over somebody. You remember where somebody said, you know, if you get on fire, somebody's come just to watch you burn. They'll be all excited. You know, it's always a good, fun thing. This God wants to use you, and He will, but it's not as you become something or as you work hard, but it's as you enter to the presence of the Lord. And I believe this is these guys, these young men, that they were in the presence of God. Grant, they had been taught, they were learned, they were used in the kingdom of Judea and Jerusalem and Israel. And then when that captivity took place, even though you had some good guys, that captivity, by and large, the nation of Israel had become idolatrous. And they had worn out their welcome. And the Lord said, okay, now this is going to be a time of separation for you. Yet, He had a remnant. He has a remnant. Here it is. Praise the Lord. There's a remnant sitting right here. Let's see. We could fill this place up, but we don't want to get too many. Amen? We just got a little remnant here. We call them burned bricks. The debris, you know. Those have gotten worn out and chiseled off by, you know, you just didn't quite fit anywhere else. Amen? So you end up on the brick pile. Yeah, praise the Lord. You know what happens to bricks on the brick pile, right? They don't give them a nice, new, comfortable spot. What they do is they get one of those wire brushes and finish you off, you know, and get all the junk off of you, get all that concrete off of you so that you can be used in the new building. Amen? So this place is not necessarily a blessing. Amen? But here you sit. So, God, what did you put me on the brick pile for? Well, I got plans for you. Amen? Some of you thought you're done. You're not done. Amen? Some of you thought you're done. Some of them thought, you know, that just because when you preach that to be an elder or a deacon, the qualification is husband of one wife or wife of one husband. Is that, well, that lets me out now. I'm done. My goose is cooked. I can no longer minister to the Lord. Wrong! You are so... Sorry. You're so wrong. The Holy Spirit isn't done. Amen? Every one of you. Every one of you has a ministry, has a gift, has a song, has a testimony, has a doctrine, has something to share. Every single one. No matter where you've been, what's happened to you, how many marriages or divorces or whatever you've had, the Holy Spirit can use you. Now, there may not be an office, but there is a ministry that God, because He has done something in you, He's transformed you, He's changed you. And what does this have to do with Daniel? I don't know. You just start preaching and you just never know. Isn't that true? No, amen. Is that because the Holy Ghost dwells in you, there's no second-class citizens in the kingdom of heaven. Amen? Or in the kingdom of heaven on earth. There's no second class. Absolutely none. Hallelujah. So these young men are being trained up in the Babylonian U, and they come in, and the Lord is beginning to use Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. Uses Daniel in the interpretation of the dream and to Nebuchadnezzar that he can't even remember. He is used in the interpretation of the handwriting upon the wall, which ends the kingdom of Babylon and begins the kingdom of Persia, and which we read in chapter 5. And then now he's coming in to a brand new kingdom. Of course, you remember the end of that chapter. It was great because the guy says, okay, whoever can read this writing on the handwriting on the wall. That kind of cute where that comes from. Comes from the Word of God. He read the handwriting on the wall, and of course he'd already read it. He kind of glanced up at it before he read it to the king, and you know, the king's offering, you know, putting a chain of gold around his neck, make him third in the kingdom. Not exactly sure you want to be third in this kingdom right now. Because you know what they do to the people who are the head of the kingdom when they come in to change kingdoms? They kind of finish you off. But hallelujah. I think Daniel just didn't take his certificate. He just kind of went and stood in the corner. Kind of whipped off that, took off that golden chain and hide and watch. So the very next thing is Darius comes in and he likes these young guys. Oh, look at these young guys here. They're pretty bright. Seem to sound pretty bright. So he's going to begin to use them. God gives them favor with the new king. Shouldn't be at all. Should not happen at all. These guys have been given favor after favor after favor. Why? Because they're good? Because they do something? No. Because they trust in the Lord their God. Amen? Now, it's kind of like when you come into church, you think, trust in the Lord, man. Trust in the Lord God. Well, I do. You know, I do. Well, no, the fact is, trust actively, trust is also getting into the Word of God. Trust is also prayer. These are not works. Listen to me. I'm going to explain something. These are not works. These are blessings coming to you because you avail yourself of the presence of God. Amen? Huh? It's like when we talk about, okay, you're not doing anything. Just believe. Just walk in the faith that you have that God loves me. Like that guy. All of a sudden, man, he's going to step, make a couple of giant steps forward. Now, he'll probably back up again. But he's going to have giant steps forward because he knows he's beloved of God, so he can come in. You know, like in Hebrews, you know, it says that we come in boldly into the throne of grace because we have, for grace to help in time of need. Because we know that our God has already, he said, come in. Come on, come on, come on. He's saying, come in, come in, come in, come in. No, don't wipe your nose. Come in. Come in right now. Don't even clean off your shoes. Well, I guess you can take your shoes off if you wanted to. But you don't have to. You just come right in. Jesus will clean that up. He's got a little brush and a little dustpan. Jesus will clean up. When you come into the presence of God, if you're a mess, Jesus, who cleans you up? Jesus. Isn't that right? He loves you. Jesus thinks you're great. He just loves you. I mean, look who he picked for his disciples. Peter. Hey, there's the powerful guy. Hey, made him Pope. Amen? Made that guy the Papa. Well, you know, even if you mistook that, I mean, you mistook that whole idea, it's kind of like, couldn't you pick a better guy? Why don't you pick John? You know, pick one of the guys who didn't screw up so bad. Amen? Pick one of the guys who's a cool guy. You know? But Peter's great because he's just like you and me, isn't he? Amen? Man, I wish Daniel was more like Peter. I think I could follow him, you know? But Daniel, he looked like a kind of a really, Daniel and Joseph, they seem to be kind of, you know, looking good. You know, really, really kind of guys who rose to the top. Peter, he never really rose to the top of anything, you know? Did he? Huh? It's great. Yeah, I've been listening to some history lectures from some guys who don't even believe the Bible, I'm convinced. You know, these are history lectures. But it's decent for history because it's not theology. So you're getting a lot of little factoids and things of that nature. You know, and they're even looking at Peter and going, this guy's talking about, you know, the Petrine doctrine. That means the doctrine of Peter being the father of the church, being the Pope, you know, and all that. And they're just laughing. They're just, you know, looking at the guy going the same way we do. It's got like a little disconnect. There's a little disconnect here in Jesus picking. Jesus' picker is messed up. So they like to kind of figure out that Jesus wasn't all he was cracked up to be because he picked Peter. Actually, we know the truth is he picked Peter because he's picked you and me. He wanted us to have an example of who God likes to pick. The guy who likes to mess up the most. You know, I mean, I will never leave you. Who? Jesus who? I don't even know who that is. Yeah, never met the guy. Don't know him. And then he swears at him. I won't do that on the tape, but, you know, he swears at the little girl there, you know, dagnabbit, I don't know him. Yeah, I mean, he's upset, you know. And then he goes out and just cries like a baby. Amen, because he loved Jesus, but he was afraid. He loved Jesus, but he was afraid. You know what? I'm afraid too. Are you afraid? I mean, you got a lot of stuff against you. You got a lot of people who are against you. I don't mean just for Jesus' sake. I mean just because they don't like the way you look. They don't like who you are. They don't like you being in their workplace. They don't like you at all. They didn't like Daniel not because he was. They didn't like Daniel here because he was a big shot. And he was also a goody two shoes. He didn't go out drinking with them. They didn't like Daniel because they couldn't buy him. They tried everything. They couldn't buy the guy. You know, remember when Moses picked his guys, it says guys who are trustworthy. What he means is guys who will not take a bribe. That's a big thing. Because you look into anything and look how easy it is for you to be bribed, for you to give up your hope, give up your faith, give up things that you hold precious in your heart, yet you give them up for, like, Esau, just give me the soup. Just give up my birthright. You give up your birthright. I'll give it up every day, won't you? Amen. Because you've got all kinds of stuff, all kinds of stuff that comes your way. And I find that I want to give up my birthright every day. Amen. Anybody like that? Anybody like me? Boy, you naughty people. Why you want to be like me? Is God loves us. And so to come to that is every day, Lord, I don't want to take a bribe. Begin the day, Lord, I don't want to take a bribe. Realize, recognize that every day you're capable. You're capable of the most wicked, most evil, and begin the day. Don't begin the day without acknowledging that Jesus, today I'm waking up and I've got flesh. It's not, that's not faith. That is faith. That is faith to say that I'm waking up in this, but it doesn't rule me. I'm waking up in this body, and it doesn't rule me. I believe Daniel woke up every day and gave thanks to God because so that his people would not be destroyed. His people would not be destroyed. Amen? So let's look here at Daniel chapter 6. It pleased Darius, his king of Persia, to set over the kingdom 120 princes. This is right after, this is like the next morning, after the handwriting on the wall. And he wanted to set up 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom. And over these 120, three presidents, of whom Daniel was the first. Again, that's amazing because he was, you know, but obviously there may have been a reason. Maybe Daniel it was known that he knew all the accounts, that he knew everything in the kingdom. And there was something about him that made him trustworthy. And it's the favor of God. Listen, it's the favor of God. You know, as you just spend time with the Lord will put you in places of authority and places of, and I don't know what kind of place of authority, maybe you'll be over three. You may not be over the city, but maybe you'll be over three. It's because God puts you over just because of the fact that you are trusting Him. The boss is not in charge. How many know the boss is not in charge? God is. The boss is not in charge of your workplace. God is. Amen? And He's got one agenda. And it's not to make widgets. It's not to make airplanes. It's not to do lawsuits. It's not to count beans. It's not to drill oil wells. You know, God's got all the oil. You know, He's got cattle on 1,000 hills and all the oil and gas under the hills. Amen. Hey, you guys, that's all God's stuff. See, He's not worried about all that. What His desire is, His only one desire is to build a kingdom. You know, you're not all about drilling oil wells and doing whatever you do. What you're about is building the kingdom of God, because that's what God's about. If you're a member, if you're a person who is in the kingdom of God, you've been born again, the Spirit of God lives on the inside of you, you have one ministry. You may be tent making, which is whatever job you got, whatever widget you're putting out, but that's just your tent making. Your job is you work for Jesus. You work for the Father, and the kingdom of God is your business. Amen? And that's what He'll do. He'll produce that. You'll be producing widgets, and He'll be producing disciples. Amen? Isn't that powerful? You got to change your mind. Huh? You got to let God change your mind. Amen? Don't be conformed to this world. That's what you're doing. You're working every day on this thing. Am I zonking out? I say, did you check this? See if it works? Y'all want to try this? These are great. It's like better than eucalyptus drops. Praise the Lord. Well, maybe that'll be better. Amen. So you're just working away at building those widgets, but that's not what God's doing. Now he'll just make you blessed doing that, but you know why? He feeds your gospel machine. Amen? That's the only purpose, is to feed the ministry. Does anybody understand that? How many know you're in the ministry? Amen. How many know that's your job? Everything else is just to support the machine, to support the gospel ministry. That's it. That's all there is. I mean, because when you leave here, you're going to be ruling. Amen? So you're just being in training. You're just in training to be a ruler. Look at Peter. Look at you. Look at Peter. Somehow it all works. I don't know how. Somehow it all works, okay? So just quit figuring it out. Amen? Let's go back here. Now, so you got this Daniel guy, this Daniel kid. He was raised up, and now he's been blessed because he believed that God was with him. You know, just believe God's with you, and you'll be fine. You may go through a lot of heck. You may even go through some hell in this life, like me, or like any number of y'all that I don't have a clue. Amen? I'm sure you've been through some stuff. It's fine. Amen. You still praising God? Well, yeah. I know your brains aren't sometimes. I'm not worried about that. Me and my wife had a big... We yelled at each other for something this morning. Who cares? Amen? And Esther's in the back seat and says, no matter what you do or what you say, you're still married. Who's preaching in the back? It's kind of like, I mean, you know, we'd passed the other thing. That was back at, you know, hallelujah. And it's fun. Is that on the tape? Yeah, good. All right here. So these put Daniel over these three presidents, which are over 120 princes. All right? So that the princes, the 120, might give account to them. They're giving account of all the things that are going on. And then that the king should have no damage. In other words, no shortage, no shrinkage. You know, when I was working at Walmart back in the olden days, you know, we talked about the shrinkage problem. What that means is people picking stuff up and walking off with it. That's shrinkage. So the king was worried about having some shrinkage. Then, verse 3, this Daniel was preferred above the presidents. Ooh, he's got three of them, and he's on top of the three. He's number one. Because an excellent spirit was in him. Wonder what that was. An excellent spirit was in him. You know, and it's not going to define that spirit. I mean, spirit. That spirit is a word which is, you know, used in all kinds of context. You know, even the Hebrew word. But an excellent spirit was in him. An excellent spirit. The key word here is more than spirit, is going to be excellent. There was an excellence in him. In him. It's the Holy Ghost working through him. Now, the Holy Ghost was not yet given as it is in the New Testament, but the Holy Ghost worked in the Old Testament. I want you to know. The Holy Spirit worked. How do you think these guys wrote the books? Holy men of old wrote as they were inspired by the Holy Ghost. And he wasn't talking about the guys in the New Testament because half of them hadn't written the books yet. He was talking about the prophets. He's talking about Moses. He was talking about the Old Testament. They were moved by the Holy Ghost, okay? Now, so Daniel was preferred above the presidents because he has an excellent spirit, and the king thought to set him over the whole kingdom. Don't you know that some people were not excited about that? Then the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. I guess they were having a meeting and didn't invite the president of the presidents. How about that? So then the president and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. He's in their way. How many know you're in somebody's way? Because you're serving God. You're not on the bottom because you're serving God. You're in the top. You're on the top. Well, they hate me. Yeah, that's right. God likes you. I don't care if they hate you. God likes you. You're on top. My boss hates me. Your boss is fixing to go out. Now, granted, you may go out. But once you go out, God elevates you. God bless you. Amen? I'm not talking about all this blessing stuff. What I'm saying is you work for God. Amen? Maybe you would go down for a season. I don't know. All I know is trust God. Amen? Amen? I believe in blessing and prosperity and goodness and all that. But I also know that some days, there's a sister we had. Some days, I'll finish the statement. Some days there's a, what'd she call it? Some days you're between money. There's a sister who went to Africa. She had cancer and her hair was black and grew out white. And she's about this tall. And she heard the Lord, and the Lord sent her to Africa. Her name's Elizabeth Austin. She'd been in South Africa. She'd been to China before that. She'd been to South, now she's in South Africa somewhere. And she worked a lot with one of our other brethren, Robert Mawiri, who used to pastor with us. He's got a minister over in Arlington, got a WRNO shortwave radio that's coming online here pretty much all over the Middle East. And so Elizabeth worked with him, and she even had a little album she'd sing. And one of her songs was talked about how she was between money. What's that? That means between the blessing that came in and between the blessing that's coming. So I'm between money today. So I'm between money. I'm between money. So it's a testimony. Her song is a testimony. It's saying, I'm going to rejoice. Hallelujah. God met the need right here, and God's meeting the need to come, because I'm not afraid, because I know He's meeting the need all the time, and just He ain't ready to meet the need today. So hallelujah. He's going to take care of me. I'll be fine. Hallelujah. Don't sweat anything. Amen? Amen. Glory to God. Now, golly, how are we ever going to get through this? So the presidents and the princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could find no occasion nor fault, for as much he was faithful. You remember in the book of Acts, you know, the Holy Spirit told these guys to pick out faithful men. Faithful men who were full of the Holy Ghost. And again, these guys won't take a bribe. Trustworthy. So for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him concerning the kingdom. Doesn't mean he was a sinless person. What it does mean is that concerning the kingdom, everything's in order. They couldn't find anything to send him to jail on. We're going to find something. Everybody's got a price, and we know Daniel he's slipped up somewhere. He's pocketed something somewhere. Anybody who's got that much power has done something somewhere. We're going to find it. They didn't find it. They couldn't find a thing. Because all of his needs were met by God. You don't need to meet your own needs. Amen? Hallelujah. Didn't mean quit your job. Sorry. Didn't mean quit your job. Go to work tomorrow. You know, people take things preachers say really weird. The brother said, I didn't need to meet my own needs, so my wife's going to starve. No, he says, put your hand to something, and, you know, if you don't work, you don't eat. But see, God meets the needs. So verse 5, then said these men, here's what they said, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it in him concerning the law of his God. Oh, it's time for a little persecution. Amen. Oh, that's good in the workplace, isn't it? A little persecution in the workplace? That'll be fun. Hallelujah. We can't get him. We can't find any occasion of fault with him. So now what we're going to do is make his God illegal. We're going to make worship of God illegal. Anybody know, anybody see that happening? Yes. Woo-hoo. Yeah, that's right. Amen. You can't say homosexuality is wicked from the pulpit on a tape or a CD. You can't say that. Because they want to come get you. That's called hate speech. No, it's not. God doesn't hate anybody. God doesn't hate anybody. He just hates sin. Amen? So, you know, I just thought I'd mention that publicly on the tape. Because I'm not in Canada yet. But, I mean, they're trying to pass a law, right? Just like these guys. That's hate speech. You know, you hate people. Hate homosexuals. You hate lesbians. Hate it. You know, well, I hate murderers. No, I don't. I hate murder. See, they'll cut that little slip out of the tape and put it with another one, and then I'll be toast. I'll have a prison ministry. You know, they can't stop you. They can't stop you. You know, you're going to have a ministry somewhere. Hallelujah. Amen. Praise the Lord. All the time you need to praise the Lord. All the time you need to read the Bible. They only make you exercise 1 hour a day. You know, in there. I've checked up on it. Just in case. All right, then said these men, we're going to find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. So we're going to have some persecution over the law of God. We're going to divide here, and we're going to make it to where this guy is in trouble because he worships God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together to the king and said thus to him, King Darius, live forever. That's what you say to kings. And all the presidents of the kingdom, the governor, except for one, except for Daniel, the governors and the princes, counselors and captains have consulted together to establish a royal statute. We've been working hard. Been working hard for the benefit of the kingdom, coming before the Congress. And we have a bill to submit to the Congress here. And we're going to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, except of only you, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Well, the king's all built up. And like, you know, kings like to feel important and feel that they're the leader and the ruler of their people, that know that there's nobody against them and nobody looking to anybody else but them. Because yeah, even as a good king, you're the supplier of your people. You're the one who blesses the people, you know. And so you want to, these guys are stroking the king, basically. They're wanting to build him up and get him to sign this thing. Oh, king, establish the decree and sign the writing that it be not changed. Now, the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians had a doctrine that when the king spoke, when the king made a decree, it cannot be changed. It's like, you know, the infallibility of the Pope. You know, when the guy says he's sitting on his throne, ex cathedra, he's sitting on the throne, whatever he says on the throne is God. So, and it cannot be changed. Well, apparently they change it all the time. But this guy, they really believed this. And so here is the king made a statement sitting on the throne, and once he makes a decree, it can't be changed. That's like, you remember over in Esther, over in the book of Esther, the king made the decree that all the Jews should be wiped out. Well, what he did then was he made an amendment to that. He just put one on top of it. But all the Jews can defend themselves. You know, before it was all the Jews can be wiped out. You just kill one wherever you want. Wherever you see one, just kill it. But then right on top of that, he says, because he couldn't change it. He couldn't change that, but he just made a new one. And he says, all those who are trying to get killed, well, the Jews can defend themselves and kill them. So, hey, praise the Lord. Works out. All things work together for good. To them that love God, to them that are called according to His purpose. So verse 8, now the king, O king, establish the decree, sign the writing that it be not changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. That's the article that we're talking about. Wherefore King Darius signed the writing and the decree, and when Daniel knew that the writing was signed. When Daniel knew that this law had passed, he went into his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did before. You can't not say, you can't say things against certain doctrines. Yes, you might go to jail. You might go to the lion's den. Well, we'll go ahead and say it anyway. Amen? Because it's not number one, we're going to say what God tells us to say. Number two, it's not hate speech, it's love speech. Amen? I don't want you to die. I don't want you to die. I don't want you to live a life of hell. I want you to live a life of hallelujah, blessing and glory. Not of destruction of the flesh, but I want you to live according to what God wants you to live, the joy of the Lord. Amen. Not fulfilling some kind of fleshly abandon because you didn't believe what God said. Amen. Because you didn't believe that God made a man and a woman. You didn't believe that, or you were mad about that. You're mad about it because something happened to you. And see, everybody says, oh, that's hate speech. You just don't accept that person. No, I don't accept that practice. I don't accept the practice because it's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. The Word of God condemns it. But the Word of God condemns a lot of things, but it doesn't condemn the people. It condemns sin. You have to be in sin. Well, we get the sin out of you, and you're fine. Amen? It's Holy Ghost surgery. They get this, God comes in and gets the sin out of you, like that brother. Yeah, he found out God got the sin out of him. He doesn't have cancer anymore. Amen? He doesn't have cancer anymore. You don't have the sin eating you up anymore. Amen? Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right, now, so verse 10, now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he did what he did before. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying. Oh, don't you know they were outside? Outside that window. That window was open every day anyway. And you, oh, Lord God, thank you that you love me. Thank you that they passed the law and that they're coming to get me. You know, and of course, about that time they came in. Hallelujah. So they assembled and they found Daniel praying. You know, caught him in the very act. And it always wonders, you know, if they caught Daniel in the very act, it makes you want to go back to the New Testament and wonder what in the world those guys were doing when the woman was caught in adultery. What are you guys doing? Make you want to slap them. In the very act. We're caught in the very act of prayer right here. I tell you, people don't have anything better to do than to try to get somebody, do they? Do you think about that? It's terrible. It's worse than the internet. So verse 12, then they came near. Ooh, they came, you're going to come near. And they spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed? See, now they're accusing the king. Watch this. You know the king's going, he's not happy about this because he got snookered. That means he got tricked. Because his best guy is the guy that they got. They didn't tell him about Daniel before. They told him about Daniel after the law was signed. So then they came near and spoke before the king concerning the king's decree. Have you not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of you, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? Didn't you say that? The king answered and said, the thing is true. According to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which alters not. He's still on board. 13, then answered they and said before the king, that Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regards not you, O king, nor the decree that you have signed, but makes his petition three times a day. He continues to pray. He continues to talk to God. Three times a day. Then when the king heard these words, he was mad as heck at Daniel. Now what it says, you read that right there. And he was sore displeased with himself. Oh man, Daniel was his favorite guy. And he just went, oh my gosh, how stupid. What have I done? And he was sore displeased with himself and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him. And he labored till the going down of the sun to deliver him. He did everything. He twisted and gyrated every kind of way, every legal application he could do. He couldn't get out of it. These guys had written that law just perfectly. He couldn't get out of it. There wasn't any way. And it had to be done by midnight. Well, not like today, huh? You know, you can sit on death row for 20 years. Then these men assembled to the king and said to the king, verse 15, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree... Well, now they're telling the king what the law is. Go figure on this. They are not making friends. They're putting on the king, they're putting the burden on the king, letting him know that he can't do anything. King? Too bad. Read it. Yeah, exactly. He was one of the presidents. He was the president. Yeah, one of those three. That's right. All of them except Daniel. They did lie. That's why they got... That's what happens later. Later happens. The liars are the first ones in the den of lions. So he said to the king, know, O king, that the law of the Medes and the Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king may king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spoke and said to Daniel, Daniel, your God who you serve continually, he will deliver you. As the guy's going down the hall. Hey, God, your God, don't forget, will deliver you. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, which is his ring. You know, they dip, drop some wax on there and make a seal on it so that nobody can open it. And, but listen here, see, this is part of the law. Not just the king, with the signet of his lords. So when the king passed a law, and then he made a decree and made that thing happen, and he put his signature on it, his ring, his the sign of his office, then the lords also came behind and did that too. So it can't be broken. The king has it's a safety mechanism. So the king can't come back and say, well, we just let him out, and the king put it back on. Say the king could pop his off and then take Daniel out and then put the signet back on. But no, he's got to get all the other guys to sign off on that too. See? So that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Okay? Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him. And his sleep escaped him. His sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste to the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice to Daniel. And the king spoke and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is your God whom you serve continually able to deliver you from the lions? O king, live forever, came a voice from inside the lion's den. I'm sure they had a little rock that they pulled out, you know, out of the side. Hey, it's dark in there. Hey, Daniel, is your God, whom you serve continually, able to deliver you? And he says, O king, live forever. I love that. It's like, you know, first thing out of his mouth is, bless the king, isn't it? You dirty, rotten so-and-so, what did you sign that law for? No, it's blessing the king. He knew the king had been deceived. He just knew the king had been deceived. He said, oh, king, live forever. He's happy. That guy was happy. He was rejoicing. He was having a good time down there petting those lions. My God has sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me. And also before you, O king, have I done no hurt. Then the king was exceeding glad for him and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den and no manner of hurt was found upon him because he believed in his God. He didn't even smell like a lion. It's like those guys in the fiery furnace. He didn't even smell like a smoke. They didn't even smell like smoke. He doesn't say that, but I believe he didn't smell like a lion. Amen? Didn't have lion slobber on him. Anything. Yeah, he's just sitting there, happy as can be, leading the lions in a chorus. And the king commanded that they brought those men who had accused Daniel. Now, remember, let's look back here for a second. That's the presidents and the princes and the governors and the counselors and the captains, verse 7, all these guys. Man, you got to go get a whole new government. And the king commanded that they brought those men who had accused Daniel and they cast them into the den of lions.
And their wives.
Oh, just read that.
And their
children.
And
their oh, God. And their wives. Well, the wives probably put them up to it. Don't you think? Don't they jealous of Mrs. Daniel? Don't you think? Those children were brats anyway. and their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them. That's just a nice way of saying that they got it. And they broke all their bones in pieces before they ever came to the bottom of the den. Boy, those lions were hungry. I mean, they didn't make it all the way down to the bottom before those guys are just, you know. Is that funny? Of course it's not funny. I mean, it sounds like a story, but hey, this is a story that happens. It's because people have come against the people of God. Now today we live in a day of mercy. Today we live in a day where mercy reigns and people do as they please. And God will manifest Himself. It's a day where Jesus Christ is being offered as the sacrifice. And the love of God is being distributed to the people of the earth freely, both Jews and Gentiles. And so these things are not happening like this anymore. These things are not happening in these days. Of course, this was a heathen kingdom too. They are happening in some places. Some places in this world, there's kings that will send you in the lion's den. Amen. If you come against the king, you're in the den. You know, you'll get yourself blown up. You'll get yourself, you know, there's many places where, you know, this is the way of kingdoms. This is the way of men. Amen. We're not doing that here. Because we trust God is out to save and deliver every person. Everyone who's alive. God desires that they hear the truth. Jeffrey Dahmer or whoever these guys are. God desires them to hear the word of truth and be transformed, to be saved. Hitler, Kim Jong-il, Ahmadinejad. God wants to touch him and reach him and minister to him. Osama bin Laden. Man, how about that guy? That'd be like Paul getting saved. No. It'd be good. We'll invite him to the church. Hallelujah. Amen. We'll invite him to the church, yeah. He'd come in, boy, everybody'd be, oh my gosh! You remember how it was when Paul came to the church? Everybody was like hiding. Hope he didn't see me in that church. You remember that story like those Russian soldiers come walking into the Soviet Union, come walking in, boom! Slam open the back doors of the church. Sally's going to illustrate for me. No, I'm just kidding. So they come busting into the back of the church, and everybody in the church, oh gosh, you know, it's a secret meeting. And so they come in and said, everybody who loves Jesus, stay, or something, you know, can't remember why, but the whole church cleared out. And then, except for two people, I don't know. In my version of the story, I don't know whether the pastor left too or not, you know. But two or three guys stayed. And then they shut the doors, locked the doors, and the two guys set down their weapons and said, well, we didn't want to worship God with anybody who wasn't a real Christian. There's got to be some truth in that story somewhere. But it's been around. Look on Snopes. I'm sure you'll find it somewhere. Amen. So, all of these things. God is desiring to save the ungodly. Amen? Yeah, bring that Osama in here. Amen. Be like Paul. I mean, you know, he's busy, you know, out. He has letters, right? He's got letters to kill and to destroy in the name of his God. Holy Ghost. Holy Ghost can knock that guy down in a minute. Amen? Hey, yeah? Who's this? It's Jesus, whom you're persecuting. I got a job for you. Praise the Lord. That'd be powerful, wouldn't it? Amen. Lord, save that guy. I bet there was people praying for Saul. Don't you? Yeah. Praying for him. And he was consenting to Stephen's death. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. Father, forgive Osama. He doesn't know what he's doing. Father, forgive Ahmadinejad. He doesn't know what he's doing. Set him free. fill him with the Holy Spirit, arrest him on his road to hell, arrest him, change him, transform him. Hallelujah. Can we pray like that? Amen. I don't want to. I just wish we'd just blow him up somehow. You know, maybe you hadn't found him for a reason. Maybe, I might be on a watch list now. You know, if saying this kind of stuff. Man, I'm in trouble today. I'm trying to save the wrong guy. Amen? No, the Holy Ghost can do that, can't he? Amen? See, we're not of this world. Amen? You're not of this world. You're in it, but you're not of it. You're not of the substance of this world anymore. You're first of all spirit. First of all, that's Daniel's spirit. First of all, he's not first of all the president. He's first of all a man of God and a man of prayer. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. All right, so all those guys got their bones broken and they're out of here. 25, then King Darius wrote to all people, nations, and languages, the whole empire, that dwell in the nations on the earth, peace be multiplied to you. I make a decree that in every dominion of my kingdom, men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel. Well, there's another king having to declare that God is God. This is a new law. Can't be changed. Here's a new law that cannot be changed. You remember these laws can't be changed? That in every dominion of my kingdom men tremble and fear before the God of Daniel, for he is the living God, and steadfast forever, and his kingdom that which shall not be destroyed, and his dominion shall be even to the end. And he delivers and rescues, and he works signs and wonders in heaven and in earth. Who has delivered Daniel from the power of the lions? He has. He's delivered Daniel from the power of the lions. So this Daniel prospered in the reign of Darius and in the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Hallelujah. Father, we magnify you and we rejoice and thank you for your deliverance, Lord, your mighty deliverance of those who follow after you and whose desire is for the kingdom of heaven. And Father, that you will not allow them to be destroyed, but you will cause their ministry to continue and to perpetuate. And that includes those who are here today and me. And Father, we thank you that as we come into your presence and worship you and magnify you and know that you are transforming us into vessels of honor day after day after day, not because of our strength, but because of the Holy Ghost who lives and dwells with us and in us. So we magnify you, we worship you, we glorify you, we praise you, we know that you have given us all things, and we magnify your name and give you praise. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Bless your name. Bless your name. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Holy is the Lord. Does anybody have a testimony to share? Anybody have a testimony? What'd you hear today? Sister?